You're listening to Monday Morning Live, part of the We Love Where You Live podcast series brought to you by the Michigan Municipal League.
Good morning, and welcome to another edition of Monday Morning Live, the podcast, and Monday Morning Live, the Facebook Live feed. As always, feel free to post any questions that you have for us in the comments below, and we'll answer them as they come in, or if you post a comment after this airs, we'll get back to you as soon as we can. I am Matt Bach, Director of Communications with the Michigan Municipal League, and I'm joined by John Lamacchia, our Assistant Director of State and Federal Affairs.
Matt, good morning.
How are you? Happy President's Day to you.
Yeah, happy President's Day to you, too.
We are working today, but a lot of the people in town are off today. Is that right?
Almost all of them. It's nice and quiet the way we like it here.
So you get a lot of paperwork done, right?
Got a lot of desk time today, which is needed.
Okay. Well, we got a few things we want to talk about. One, of course, there's been a lot happening with the budget. This is typically maybe a question for Chris Hackbart, but he's enjoying a well-needed day off today. So, John, you're stepping in. So tell us a little bit what's going on with the budget and what can you tell us?
Well, one, I heard Chris might be watching, so.
Hey, Chris. Hi, Chris.
How are you?
He's watching. Betsy just sent us a note.
Yeah, so I'll do my best to fill in for him, which shouldn't be too hard, other than I forgot my khakis today. So, we're okay with that.
But you have your dad jokes, though.
I do have my dad jokes. Actually, I gave him a great dad joke. Maybe we'll end with that today.
All right.
Later on. But, so the budget, the governor put it out about a week and a half ago, and there's a number of things in there. As you would imagine, she focused heavily on the education side. Roads were not touched in there, especially at the local level. That's a bad joke.
Right.
Because she came out with a bonding proposal. I'm sure we can talk about that a little bit more here in a few minutes.
Sure.
And then obviously revenue sharing, which is something that we track very directly, was included in there. And statutory had a 2.5% increase, similar to what was proposed last year.
And what did they end up getting last year? Was it?
It was about 5.7-ish million, I think, which was what we got last year. And we're right up around 7 again this year in terms of the governor's proposal, plus an increase in constitutional because of the growth in sales tax.
Okay.
And then the other piece in there very quickly is she's put some money in for high water issues, about $40 million.
Okay. And that's been an issue that Harrison Richards in our office has been closely following. We've had hearings and testimony from members. So is that a good sign? Are we excited about that?
So I think that's a really good sign. The issue with this is because it is the budget proposal for the next fiscal year, that money is actually not available until after October 1 of 2020.
And the problem's here now.
So the problem's here now. And we've had those very direct conversations with the governor and her staff. And she just mentioned actually late last week that she's going to be making an announcement in the coming weeks about what to do with it in the near term. But she's clearly prioritizing it. That $40 million is a mix of grants and then sort of administration and help on that end. So about $30 million for the grant side. I think it's up to about $2 million per community is what you could get based on that event. And, so it is helpful, but what we're seeing, and even there were some articles published last week, is that we're talking maybe $100 million plus in terms of what the problem is. And Harrisana has been tracking some very direct numbers for us. And while it's all over the board, depending on your community, it's well within the tens of millions of dollars that we've just been able to track on our end. And we know that it's a lot more than that.
So it's nice, but there's going to be a lot greater need. And you mentioned that there were grants. My notes show there was a 2.5 million per award,
yep.
And then there's going to be a 20% local match required.
Correct.
So they're going to have to come up with some of the money on their own. So it's not necessarily free money, but
no.
It's better than nothing.
Absolutely.
And that really impacts a lot of our communities. I know a lot of our communities are following this closely.
Yeah, well, and we've been able to, one, not only keep them in the loop, and our members have been extremely active on it. So everybody from Ludington to South Haven, we appreciate their efforts and spending some time with our staff here in Lansing. And we've talked about before, and as the blog that's up on Inside 208 right now talks about, we're going to need that continued involvement from them and from others.
Okay.
And we also recognize it's not just a shoreline issue as well. It impacts a lot more than that. So making sure that we deal with this in the near term, but we also have a long-term strategy in terms of how we deal with this based on the effects of what's happening in the climate right now.
Okay. So you talked about some of the specifics in the budget. What's the general overall reactions you're hearing you're getting on
this? Yeah, so One, it's definitely different than last year because it's not based on a 45-cent gas tax increase.
Yes, you kind of dropped the hammer, and that's really what the focus became.
It really was. And I think, you know, the reaction this year is pretty toned back. I think there's a lot of things in there that, you know, appeal to both sides of the aisle, and not to make it partisan, but, you know, by the nature of it, you know, the governor's going to have her priorities, and, you know, the legislature, which is controlled by Republicans, is going to have theirs. And there's going to be some differences of thought there. But in general, you know, there's no real big item that people are fighting over like they were in last year's budget. I think it gives hope to the fact that maybe we can get something done before we walk away for summer, which is important for our members, important for schools in terms of certainty as they deal, you know, with their budgets for the next fiscal year. But I think it also gives us some space to actually talk about the issues we care about. You know, so last year, the complete conversation was dominated by roads and revenue increases on that end. You know, we have an opportunity to fill that space now that that's not there with conversations about revenue sharing and other priorities we have.
And I'm sure we're happy, you know, that she's calling for 2.5%, I think it's 2.5, and increase in statutory revenue sharing. But still, it doesn't really go very far as far as addressing all the losses that our members have experienced.
Absolutely not. And the statement that we put out immediately following the governor's budget is still to be, you know, pleased with the fact that we are getting somewhat of a small increase here. But we know we're still well behind our 2011 levels, almost $50 million when you build this into it. And that's been our very direct budget ask. So Chris and I have been in a number of meetings, both with the budget director and leadership in the House and Senate, where we've told them very directly that we want to restore this to a minimum of the 2011 levels, which would be about a $50 million investment into local government, and something that we have not seen and would put us on par with every other department that was cut when Snyder enacted his cuts in his first year as governor.
Are we hopeful about that, or?
Well, I think what we've seen right now, and even just last week, we had some conversations with some people. You know, we've been able to create this groundswell of conversation around revenue sharing. You know, part of that's because of our Save My City efforts. Yeah. Part of that's because, you know, just doing our work here as advocates for the association. And then obviously our members have been very active. And you've seen that as part of the narrative that recent legislators that have been elected have been running on. Mm-hmm. And so those legislators now are starting to say, well, what are we actually going to do about it? How are we going to do this? So I remain hopeful that we're going to continue to see that. Now, whether that translates into dollars this year or next year, you know, obviously that's very difficult to say. The budget still is tight. I mean, I understand the narrative around it being a $60-plus billion budget, but that amount of money that's actually discretionary has still been relatively stagnant.
Sure.
And so getting the legislature to prioritize is what our focus is. And you know, I think to credit here on staff and some others, we're trying to find creative ways in which to do that here in the short term.
Okay, well, let's shift a little bit to roads. You said it wasn't really part of the budget, but because they had this bonding program, that's why it wasn't in there. But even so, it doesn't address local roads at all.
It doesn't. So, you know, the budget will reflect the final year of the 2015 plan. That's about another $132 million in general fund that's going to be allocated. That will be split between the three different types of road agencies, so MDOT, the county road agency.
This was the plan that was supposedly going to fix the roads, and everybody's like, "Wow, I thought the roads were being fixed," and it really didn't.
Yeah, so maybe the headline said it was gonna fix it. I think everybody behind the scenes knew that it was well short, and other things were going to need to be done in the near future. And that's clearly where we sit today. And then there's been some general growth just in gas tax revenue increases and registration fees. So there's about $200 million more in the budget this year, which will allow for a small increase on the local side, but nowhere near what we need. And as you mentioned, the governor's bonding proposal does not get us there, right? And again, and I always like to make sure we're very clear about this. That's not because she doesn't want to. It's because under her executive authority, she can only do bonding for the state roads, so I roads and M roads. And she's been very clear and very direct with that. Actually, I just read an article this morning where she was in Grand Rapids last week talking about it and then calling on the legislature to work with her and others to solve the problem on the local side.
You feel like there's a willingness to do that?
Yeah, I will say, actually, I took two phone calls late on Friday, specifically on this topic, from some leadership offices to continue this conversation. I don't think there's any question in my mind that when legislators hear from their constituents, they're hearing about local roads. as the primary issue. That doesn't mean we don't need to solve the entire problem, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, if you think about the network in general, you have to make sure you take care of the infrastructure at all levels. But there's an added emphasis right now that we're hearing on dealing with the local side. So whether that be, you know, a direct infusion of dollars, in a one-time sense, whether that might be the idea of going out for a local gas tax or a local reg fee to see if the legislature can authorize those or others.
Registration fee, right.
Yeah. So those are the things that still continue to be top of mind for them. And I think as we see this budget process move along and they're just starting to have their first meetings on the budget this week and next week, we'll get a lot more clarity in terms of how willing they are to go and do something and then what space we have to work with them to push a proposal or a solution, even if it is just one-time money here in the short term, right, for local roads.
You kind of touched on my next question, which is what's next with the budget? You mentioned there's already committee meetings, or kind of they break down the budget in pieces and it goes to different committees.
Yeah, so you know everything from, you know, K-12 to higher ed to, you know, the general government budget to a number of others as we look across the departments. And what they will do now is they'll just take general testimony on what is part of the governor's recommendation, make sure the committee members on each of these individual subcommittees know exactly what's going on, and then they will start to formulate their thoughts and their ideas and then begin to move those budget bills with what they believe should be prioritized, if anything different than what the governor has put out.
Okay. Well, good. Well, a lot of these issues we'll be talking about in a lot more detail at our Capitol Conference, which is coming up March 24th and 25th. Our early bird rate, I think, expires in a week or two. So that's something people should pay attention to. I know that one of our hotels is filled up, but we do still have the discounted hotel room block rate that you can still get. So I encourage our members to do that. So I'm excited about some couple things at Capitol Conference. One, Lieutenant Governor Garland Gilchrist is going to be there. Yep. Tell me a little about some of his messaging and some of the work he's been doing.
Yeah, so we were able to extend an invite to him and he was able to accept. And what he has been doing, he's been touring the state and been in a number of different cities. And what he has called that is his Thriving Cities Tour. And then he hopes to create some policy out of that to prioritize, you know, what the urban agenda for the administration is going to be. And we've talked, you know, for a long time now about how cities are really the economic backbone of this state. I do believe that the lieutenant governor and the governor see that same aspect that we do. And now they're trying to formulate what their policy would be around that.
That's so great. Everything good for
from
us, right?
Yeah, everything from, you know, generational economics down to infrastructure and transit. And those types of things really matter. I mean, a lot of the things that we've been talking about as an organization lately, you know, around community wealth building and other topics lend right into this. And so we see ourselves almost on a daily basis continuing to align with the administration, and then hopefully this gives us the avenue to work with them on policy priorities that long-term really change the dynamic for our communities.
Great. Well, that's great. And you guys will be talking a lot. You have different legislative sessions. You have a couple lobbying sessions. Yeah. One of the ones I'm excited about is we actually have an official from Facebook coming to speak at one of our breakout sessions about how local governments should use Facebook. We've never had someone from the corporation here before, so you get to hear right from the horse's mouth best ways to and the best kind of tips and tricks and great local examples that are happening of communities using Facebook well. So I'm really excited about that one.
Yeah. I think the Capitol Conference in general is really shaping up nice. I know when I saw the numbers the other day.
Numbers.
I mean, we're up over 300 already, which is really nice. So hopefully people continue to register. And I think what you see here as a general theme of Capitol Conference is preparedness. I know Nan Whaley, mayor of Dayton, Ohio, is coming to talk about, you know, well, the experience that she went through down there was very unfortunate, but how as local units do we think about this, prepare to, and then react? Mm-hmm. And then we're kind of having that theme throughout a little bit. I mean, we're even having a session on lead and copper about that. And so we've talked a lot about the rule, but now that that rule's in place, what happens if you get that high action level? Are you ready to go out and talk to your customers and your residents to say, this is what's going on, this is, you know, what we need to do, this is what you need to be aware of? And those things are very, very important right now for our communities right here.
Speaking of legislative issues, I should mention that our next issue of our magazine, which hits the streets around the first week of March, is all on legislative issues, focusing particularly on preemption and the erosion of local control and how the state continually is taking more and more local control away from our communities. It's a really good issue. I just edited it. It's going to be going to the press really soon, and we're excited about it. So a lot of stuff for our members, a lot of information out there for them to glean from. Mm-hmm. John, well, I thank you. Our next Monday Morning Live is going to be same time, 10:30 on Monday, March 2nd, my daughter's birthday.
That. Maybe Chris will be here for that one.
Maybe Chris will be here for that. Maybe. So, anything else you want to add? Anything I missed?
No, I think we're good today. Hopefully everybody enjoys President's Day, and we'll see you on our next episode.
All right. Thank you.
Thanks, Matt.
This has been a production of the Michigan Municipal League. For more information on our programs and services, please visit www.mml.org and join us for the next episode of We Love Where You Live.